Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on conference call number 8. We're cruising right along the numbers. We have 12 conference calls, and I'm going to actually be doing some listing conference calls for our spring season. So we'll wrap up the sequence here in a few more calls, but I wanted to spend some time talking about CMAs. What price should I offer? This is more of a call for a buyer's CMA than it is for a listing CMA. So I do have an example tonight that I'm going to go over with everyone. This is a real-life example. And so if you are by your computer or you have your electronic device, if you have the ability to log into the MLS, I will be going over toward the latter part of the call tonight how to do a quick CMA using the MLS or to really find comparables. So we're going to go over that tonight. But we're going to cover what is a CMA, some sources of a CMA, and discuss the comparables and go over that example tonight. So that's how it's going to play out. We will end at 6 o'clock, and if you have any questions after the call about a specific CMA that you're working on that you may have questions about, either for a buyer or a seller, just send me an email at Rochelle, R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E, at bestchoicerealtywa.com. I get asked a lot by real estate brokers that work for our firm about, Rochelle, can you do the CMA for me? Can you see if I'm priced right? Can you see if my buyer is overpaying for a house? And what I don't do is I don't do the CMA for you. What I usually ask the brokers to do in our firm is to at least run preliminary on it, and then I will double check your work or give it another set of eyes to see if we're on the right page. So with that being said, let's talk a little high level. Some of the people on the call tonight are newer to the business, and so some of the lingo doesn't make sense or needs to be clarified. Sometimes I make, you know, calls, and I think it was my husband, Eric, when he first got his license, he's like, what is a CMA? Well, I don't even know what you're talking about. So let's break it down and talk about what a CMA stands for first. CMA, and you, when you're sharing information about, you know, comparables or market analysis, you really want to make sure you talk and use the full statement with your clients. Don't use abbreviations like we do when we're talking amongst ourselves. But CMA stands for comparative or competitive market analysis. That's what the C, the M, and the A stand for. So in different classes, I've learned how to do a competitive market analysis, and in some classes, you learn how to do a comparative market analysis. Both, in essence, are a market analysis or a market snapshot or a market evaluation. I've heard many different versions of how to give a client a CMA or, in essence, a market evaluation of their property. Some people think that, you know, the assessor's value that they get in the mail, you know, sometime during the year, you're going to get like a little card. It's like on a postcard. If you're a homeowner, and it would have like, here's the land value, here's the structure value, here's your assessed value. And it breaks it down and puts a number on the card. And that's what the assessor uses to value your home or your property. And then they put a tax value on that. And so that is not a CMA. That is not a market analysis. So if you have a client that thinks that's what their home is worth or their property is worth that, you're going to want to do some further investigation or educate them more on what a true CMA or a market analysis really is. Some people think that an appraisal is a CMA, and in essence, it's not. In fact, there are a lot of buyers out there right now currently looking for properties who are willing to pay above appraised value for a property, for example, in the city of Redmond or the city of Bellevue. So, you know, if you had an appraisal done on the property, that might not be an indicator of a comparative market analysis or wouldn't be a competitive market analysis. That value that's placed on the appraisal is really for the purpose of appraising the property to get to obtain and get a loan or to evaluate for a purchaser who is wanting to estimate the value or a mortgage company. So in essence, it's not a good CMA. Appraisal is a snapshot of time of what an appraiser is going to value the property on. It is not a CMA or comparative market analysis like we do as real estate brokers. Although there are some certain aspects of an appraisal or the way we do CMAs are quite similar to a way appraiser would appraise a property. Information you can get from a real estate agent is the best type of CMA that you can do. It's not an assessor, it's not an appraiser, it's from a real estate broker who is licensed and knowledgeable about the area. So when you're doing a CMA or when you're trying to assess, a buyer says, what price should I offer on this house? You need to think about it from your point of view, meaning that you should be going to the MLS and doing an assessment or analysis using that source, rather than relying on the appraisals or the assessments that sometimes come or get stamped on a property from either a buyer or a seller. A lot of people ask me, Rochelle, what do you use? What are your sources for a CMA? How do you come up with your numbers? How do you know that your buyer is not overpaying for the property? There are a few different places that you can go, and not all of the places that I'm going to give you tonight are what I would use on a regular basis. The best comparables that you're going to find are found on the MLS, found on either the commercial MLS or found on the Northwest MLS, and those are valid sales that have been documented by the marketplace. There is a place you can go on Realist. That's also, there's a link on the Northwest MLS, or the Realist is also tax records. So you can get potential sources by looking at Realist or by looking at the King County Assessor's website. Realist, in essence, is basically the assessor's website in an easy to use format. So if you want to get more information about Realist, they do offer classes at the Northwest MLS. So you can be familiar on how to use the tax records or how you can use Realist in an easy-to-use type of fashion. But it's not the basis of how I find my sources. I may go to Realist just to get a ballpark, but that's not really what I'm going to do when I do a CMA. The other place that some people will go, and I like to just not cloud my judgment and go there first. I usually like to go and do my own analysis on the MLS and then maybe check my work or to debate these sources. But it's called AVM models. And AVM stands for Automated Valuation Model. There are links that you can go to many different third-party websites, including Zillow, including Trulia, including Redfin. Redfin does a better job, but it's still an AVM model. And what it's called is an automated valuation model. And what it does is the computer attempts to take sold comparables or sold properties around a certain radius or around a certain distance around the property or the subject and put a value of the property on that. So if you did a search for a particular property address that I'm going to give you tonight, and you did a search on Redfin or you did a search on Zillow or Trulia, you actually would be completely off with this particular property. So, automated valuation models are only that. They're estimates, they are automated, and sometimes can prove very, very wrong. However, there are cases where they're not off very much at all, where you may want to consider them or be aware of them, because your clients actually are looking at Zillow, Trulia, and Redfin, or Realtor.com in order to make it a judgment call of what they will or will not offer on a property. But if you can make the case, you'll make the case with factual data, and the factual data can be found on the Northwest MLS with actual sold, active, pending comparables. Now, there are some, if you go to Realist or you go to the tax ID number on any listing that you find on the MLS, and you click on the tax ID, and you see a little in the middle of the court of the Realist printout sheet that you can do on the listing. You go to Realist, and you want to get the full details. And it usually prints out a two-pager or a sheet on what the mortgage balance was, what the assessment value was. And then there's another section that says derived. It's in very, very fine print. It says derived by CoreLogic. CoreLogic is a provider that is giving data, also another AVM model, automated valuation model, that estimates and it puts a range and it puts a confidence score of what they think the price should be or the range it should fall within. And even that, the core logic that comes from realists, that comes from the tax records, is an indicator. It's not a comparative market analysis. So you may want to check that before you make a judgment call, or before you go on a listing or a buyer's consultation appointment if you're going to be offering on a property. But again, that's not used to come up with the value. You really want to establish, by using the Northwest MLS, comparables. Comparables in similar lot size, if it's a property, similar year built, similar condition, similar square footage, similar location. You don't want to be in the same, you know, in a completely different neighborhood, a similar vicinity. All of these things should be considered when you're finding or locating your comparables. Now, when you're locating your comparables on the MLS, I like to select active, pending, sold. And I do like to just quickly check the expired and canceled to see if there's anything I'm missing. You want to go back 180 days at least. When we're calculating over the winter, you may want to add a little few more days because it might be a true indicator. During December, it's probably our slowest month out of the entire year. However, you know, you may want to go back and capture some of the September or October data when you're going and doing the CMA at this point in January and February. Now, when you get into March and April, you know, you want to keep it within 180 days so that you capture January. In February, you don't capture December. But sometimes when you're just in the start of the selling season or you're planning on listing something in February and March, sometimes you may want to go back just an extra month to see what you find by going back that far. But you want to keep it as close as you can to 180 days going back in time. When you can't find comparables, another source that you could sometimes contact would be your title company. And the title company may have sold comparables that you may not have considered or found on the MLS. It would be off market. It may not be real estate agents. It might be, you know, dad selling to the son and it happens to be in the same neighborhood or same condo complex. You know, if you're having a hard time finding sold comparables within a complex or within a certain radius, you may want to contact your title company, and for $1 of a comparable, they can provide you with that comparable. You may want to be very selective in telling them exactly what you're looking for before they do the search or the query. But that is sometimes has helped me in finding a comparable that may not be readily apparent or has saved me in looking like an idiot when I'm working with a buyer or seller who knows more about the area or the complex than I do. I may want to do a quick title search and find out if there's anything else I'm missing. It's well worth the $2 or $3 that may come from that query. Let's go ahead and do the example, because I think this is a very appropriate example to use tonight, where we have a lot of interest in sellers wanting to sell. However, they do not want to put it on the open market for whatever reason. And here you have a buyer looking at a complex, and they have lost out on other multiple offer opportunities, or they have been waiting or watching this particular neighborhood or complex, and all of a sudden you send out a marketing mailer or a letter of some sort, like this particular agent did in our office, and you've got people that have responded who have said, yes, come by and take a look at our place or look at our condo or complex. We are interested in selling, but we do not want to sell on the MLS. We would rather sell to an interested buyer and negotiate the terms ourselves rather than put it on the MLS. And so you don't want to overpay, but you want to create a win-win situation for the buyer and the seller in this particular scenario. So in this scenario, we are using an address tonight that is an actual address of a mutually accepted transaction that we're working on right now, and it's between a buyer and a seller that found each other with a buyer letter, with the letters that were sent out trying to, you know, find something in this particular complex. And the seller contacted our agent and said, yes, we are interested in selling, but, you know, come by our place and see how much the home, you know, see how much our home is valued at. And it was quite shocking because what the seller thought their home was valued at was not what our agent came up with. And our agent then became very concerned, called me today and asked me to do a CMA. So I did a CMA, a quick CMA, just right before the conference call tonight. So we're going to go ahead and use this one as our example so you can see what I'm seeing. and you could understand that things are not always what they appear on the third-party website. So go ahead and write this address down, and then we will go ahead and cover this by going to the MLS, and I'll show you a comparable that will make a lot of sense. And that way you can properly do this for your clients as well. The address is 13550 37th Avenue South in Tukwila, 98168. And I'm purposely not going to give you the unit number so that you can, so I can preserve the the contract that we have right now going on this particular unit. But we are going to do a search using 13550 37th Avenue South in Tukwila. So normally I would go right to the Northwest MLS and I would do a search, but I do want to show you how inaccurate Zillow and Trulia is for this particular property. This property is a townhome. It's not a condo, it's a townhome. So it's got an upper, the bedrooms are on the upper floor, and then the kitchen, the living space is on the main floor. And so it's got a good amount of square footage. And when I do a search and I put in that address into Zillow, 13550 37th Avenue South, the Zestimate shows it to be $130,752. When I do it on Redfin, it's even worse, actually, on Redfin. Usually Redfin is a little more accurate than Zillow these days, and it all depends on the area, the location, and what has sold. But Redfin puts the estimate with that particular address at $103,652, and it shows it as a one-bedroom, one-bath. And we know this is not correct because the agent told me it's a two-bedroom, two-bath townhome in this complex. So when you just do a search on Redfin or Zillow or on these automated valuation model websites or these third-party websites that claim to have estimates or market analysis, and some of them even claim, they're blatant, they say, you know, contact here and we'll send you your free complimentary CMA or your comparative market analysis. All of these are just gimmicks. And so in order to do a true comparative market analysis, obviously, it's best to see the property inside so you know the condition and the type of property you're dealing with. You understand your product. Then you will go to the Northwest MLS, NWMLS, and do a search. And I'm going to go to single family. I'm going to go to general. I'm in matrix, if you're following along tonight. And in the middle section of the Northwest MLS, I'm in my matrix, I'm doing a search. There's a map search, and it says no map selected. The very top middle section, it says or within quarter mile. Since it's in a condo complex, I'm going to keep it very, very tight, meaning I'm going to keep it as much as I can in the complex. If, for example, there are no solds, pendings, or actives that come up in that complex, I can simply go back in time, so add a few extra months to a condo, and sometimes I will find comparables that way. Or we may expand it a little bit out to see if there's another complex that has similar like properties. But right away, I'm able to find comparables using this address. So let's go ahead and do a search. Now that I know it's a townhome and I know it's two-bedroom, two-bath, I'm going to do or within a quarter mile, and I'm going to go ahead and in that open bar, that open box format, I'm going to type in 13550 space 37th. Avenue South. And then right as soon as I did that, I didn't even have to put in Tukwila, it put in the map area, it turned from map area selected. So I know that the map was taken using that address. On the left-hand side under general, there's a status. It says data range. I'm going to go ahead and select active, contingent, pending, backup requested, pending feasibility, pending inspection, pending short sale, pending and sold. Now, if I was doing a listing appointment, I might want to see canceled and expired, but for the time being, I'm just trying to do a quick search to see what this price should be because the buyer wants to offer on this particular property. And they're going to meet us in the office here in about a half an hour, so we definitely have to have our game on and know what we're doing here with this estimated comparative market analysis. Subject type, I could select residential and condominium. Because I know it's a townhome, I don't want to miss any townhomes. Sometimes people will make the mistake of only searching for condominiums when they're looking at condos, and then they're going to miss a townhome, which could be improperly classified. So I'm going to end up capturing some that I don't really want. I'm going to go ahead and select by holding down the control key. I'm using the, I'm not using a MacBook tonight. I'm using my Surface. So I'm going to use the residential and condo. So I hit control, and then I can hit both residential subject types and condominiums. And then I have 21 hits down below. So 21 hits is pretty good. I'm going to go ahead and search for anything that is in this complex. And I have 21 hits, so I'm just going to go through one by one. And as I go through it, I'm hitting next and going through each one. And I'm looking at the project type, which is at the very top of each listing. This particular unit, unit number 4, is a condo. It's listed active. It's been on the market for almost just about a month. And it's 13550 37 Avenue South, unit number 4. So it's in the same complex. And it's an active listing, 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Our clients actually saw this one. So they knew that they, you know, that this one was on the market for $159. So this is an active comparable. This is one that you would want to use for your CMA. Because it's listed, it's a 2-bedroom. They definitely want a 2-bedroom, but they are wanting, they wanted a 2-bedroom, 2-bath with a town, you know, a townhome concept. And so this one only has a 1-bathroom. But it's important to note because they saw this one at $159, and that gave them the indicator that, you know, if they had a townhome, they'd be willing to pay more if they found a townhome that had in this complex. So let's continue on. Let's click next. That's a house. That's a house. So these would not be comparable because we have to find somebody that's in the complex. Ooh, that one hurts me, but it's only a 1-bedroom, so we can continue moving on. And it looks like it was a, it was vacant and it wasn't marketed really well, and it's definitely not a townhome. So I'm gonna pass on the 103. Oh, there's another 1-bedroom for 110. 2-bedroom, 1-bath for 130 that sold. Oh, here's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath sold for 140. I'm kind of looking at the picture to see if it's like the one that we were wanting, and it's not. But interesting to note, I'm going to go ahead and note that. That's 140. It's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Sold for 140. Keep going. It's in the same neighborhood. Ooh, here's one. It's if you have put in the same criteria as I did, and there's 21 listings, you're going through them tonight. Listing the ninth one I'm looking at here, when I'm searching for a 2-bedroom, a 2-bath townhome, all of a sudden I found one, unit number 52, that was listed for $174,950 and sold for $174,950. So there we go. Now we're getting closer to what we need it to be. 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath, and as I scroll through the pictures, wow, it's been updated quite a bit. They put a new kitchen in, they put new flooring in, new paint, and it has stairs going upstairs. There's a good sign. So I know that this is an end unit, and it's been completely remodeled for $174,950. So that kind of puts a price on units in this area, and that's definitely a sold comparable that an appraiser would use if they're comparing another townhome that's going in this complex. As I go through the rest of the units, the rest of the units are either 1-bedrooms or they're homes. So none of these are comparable to the complex. I'm looking again for the complex. So I only found the two, well, there's two or three that are really drive the price down. But the townhome, I'm going to go back in time just to see if there's any other townhomes that have sold in this particular complex. And as I go through, I do not see any other townhomes except for the one. Here's one that sold for $173,000. And this was also a townhome. So this one sold in July. So this is an example of one where I actually had to go back in time in order to find another comparable. So just like an appraiser would do, they would have to look. They would keep it in the complex. With condos, you can go back a little bit in time, not too far. You can't go back 2 or 3 years. That's way out of line. But in this particular case, in this complex, there was another townhome that sold for $173,000. And the address is 13702, so that is our same complex. And as I go through the units, It's MLS number 917918, listed for 154,950, and it sold for 173. So they got multiple offers, most likely, and it went up in price. There were seller concessions, it looks like, and it was conventional financing. And they did a lot of renovations to this particular unit as well. So they put a new kitchen in, and they put in new flooring, and it sold for 173, but back in July. Okay? So I was able to find an extra unit, which will help me in making the case. So if you take the 159, the 173, and the 174,950, and you estimate based on the condition, or even just the 174,950, I believe was an end unit, you could make the adjustment for either condition or for the end unit that, you know, we could make, I think the contract that I'm looking at here, it is. It was 173, with the seller paying $6,000 in closing costs. So I think that's a very fair offer, knowing that we're now here in March with the closing date in 45 days. And this is an off-market sale. And the agent came to me and said, hey, what should I offer? And I told her to do a CMA, and we found the one for $174,950. And then I found the other one for the $173. And I think based on if the seller is willing to pay closing costs, I think that's a very fair market price using a comparative market analysis for a townhome. The problem that people were running into, or that the seller was running into, is that they were thinking their townhome wasn't worth as much because that they were going to different websites, like I told you not to, and pricing their home using the website. And all it took was an agent who was very knowledgeable about the complex, who had seen the properties come and go in the marketplace, go ahead and put an offer in front of them, and now we have a signed around contract between a buyer and a seller who's agreeing to sell for a certain price. And again, it's because we had to do our homework. So with that, I'm sure there will be a lot of questions that will come up as far as how do you estimate, how do you make adjustments, how do you communicate about price. Those are usually case-by-case scenarios, but if you've done your homework and you know, here's my subject, here are the comparable properties that I think are most like the subject, and here are the adjustments that I made. Rochelle, does that seem fair? Does that seem equitable for the buyer and the seller? You know, I'm a very reasonable broker, but I think like an appraiser at times, and you can't really go outside certain things. There are certain requirements that you have to consider, and sometimes you just have to the more you do or the more CMAs that you have completed in your history as a real estate broker, the better you're going to get at this process. So that when you are out there showing clients and they say, Rochelle, what should I offer? I never give them the price. I never tell them exactly what the price is because every day it changes. The market changes based on new information that comes across our desk. So, you know, that $174,950, that condo sold, you know, 2 months ago, that wasn't on the market. So that would have been new information that has come across our desk that would have changed the price of what a potential seller could get. So if somebody would have talked to the seller 2 months ago and said, well, your property is only worth $159 or $160, well, all of a sudden now we have another comparable home or comparable property that sold for $174,950 that we now can use in estimating what the property value is for this particular seller. So don't be misled by the third-party websites. Do your own research. Do your own work. If you need a second opinion, I'm here to support you, but you just need to do the work and send me your work, and then I'll check it over. And the other thing to consider when you're coming up with a value, you know, the buyer says, Rochelle, what should you offer? What should I offer on this home? Don't make the mistake that I did early on in my career, which was giving them the answer. Well, you should offer $175,000. And see if they take it. Because with the $175,000 in this particular case, you may not be able to justify it with an appraiser. There could be challenges where the seller does not agree and then you're way off on your pricing. There's many reasons why you do not want to give them the number, because once you give them the number, then your buyer will blame. They'll blame you if you are not able to secure a deal or if the appraisal does not come in at the value and you have to negotiate further. If you have made that statement that I think I would, you know, I would pay more than, $175 for this place. You sometimes box yourself into a corner and then you eat your words. So it's better to give a buyer or a seller a range, between this, I could estimate this particular townhome, and I haven't been inside it, but I could estimate that based on the sold comparables and the active comparables and what's going on in the marketplace, I think the range could be anywhere from 170 to 175 or 168 to 175 based on what I'm seeing in the marketplace. Here are the comparables I found, and this particular unit does not have as nice of a kitchen, or this particular unit is not an end unit, so that's therefore you need to make the adjustment for that. But let the consumer come up with what offering price they should offer. I'm very surprised when I give people, I think, oh, I could really, undercut the seller. I could, really negotiate. And all of a sudden I find out that, oh, I lost the property for my buyer because I didn't do a good job or I told them the number. When they really love the property, and a comparative market analysis should really be what this buyer is willing to pay. Sometimes the buyers are willing to pay fair market value for the property. Listings often are listed below market value in order to drive the price up. And so if you're doing a CMA or a market analysis, make sure you consider that. If you're looking at pendings, you may have to call the listing agent to find out how much, what percentage that it went up in value when they got multiple offers, or find out how many offers really bid the price up, or if they were able to get a cash offer. Sometimes that information can help you in estimating how much to go above when the listing agent lists the property for, say this one was listed for $155 and they got multiple offers on it because they put it on the open market. Well, how much is a buyer willing to pay? We could have found out, or we actually have that sold data, that this particular property went up to $173 that I'm looking at here. So, in situations like this, you sometimes have to do more research, or you have to ask the buyer, how much are you willing to pay for this place? And if the appraisal does not come in at the value, how much more are you willing to pay in order for you to get and obtain the property? $1,000, when you look at a loan of, say, 30 years, doesn't really amount to be very much per month. So make sure you have those open, frank conversations with your buyers, because this is a very challenging marketplace. And if you're like me, you've been writing at least two or three offers in order for one to stick, because there's a lot of competition out there for condominiums, for areas in very high desirable locations or school districts, or just limited inventory and supply in certain areas and cities. So, you may have to do more research than you did in the past at doing a good CMA or providing your buyers with comparables so that they can actually see what you're seeing. They can actually make a good judgment call on what they should offer. So you can give them a range so that you're not stuck and put in a box, or having to go, oh, shoot, I lost that one for this buyer because I didn't do my research or do my homework. You should know what things are selling for in a particular complex or area. And then you'll be like one of our agents who was able to secure working with a buyer and a seller representing both parties because she was able to do her homework. So I get the pleasure of contacting this agent of ours tonight and telling her she did an excellent job of doing her homework and using the CMA things that she's learned in these classes. So good luck out there, you guys. Have a great week. I look forward to helping you with many more transactions this coming year. And we're off to a great start. In February is fantastic, record-breaking for us, and March should be the same. Make sure you're utilizing your resources and doing what you can to help your buyers secure the best deal possible. And I'll talk to you guys soon.